There is so much that goes into one bottle of wine. So much time, so many resources, so much careful thought.
This big body of water, Lake Michigan, it has so much love to give us.
I was the young generation, now I'm the old one. It's funny how that happens, you know?
I'm adverse to publications of wine to some degree because the people that are writing these articles are living in a vacuum.
Americans have embraced wine more. We've become more of a wine culture.
We say, so drink the wine. That's kind of our motto here at Life Between the Vines. One of the cool things about wine, besides drinking it, is the people you drink it with. And the stories you hear and tell with wine all come together to make every bottle unique. Discovering and tasting wine shouldn't be a homework assignment. And we believe that the people who are closest to wine have the best stories. So open a bottle.
And welcome to podcast number 313. This week we feature Alexis Cornu of Château de Berne in Provence, France. Rosé is a wine that appeals to almost everyone. Styles of rosé vary greatly, just as can the grapes. Alexis Cornu makes wine at Château de Berne in Provence, France, and his love and knowledge of rosé runs deep. While Alexi makes traditional red and white wines too, his rosé is readily available here in the U.S. We met up with Alexi at Pacific Standard Time Restaurant in Chicago for lunch and a chat. Experience and passion is what making wine is all about, and his love of wine is easy to see and more fun to taste.
I'm in Chicago, and it was a great opportunity here to meet Alexi Cornu. And Alexis, you are the winemaker at Château de Berne.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, Ultimate Provence, yeah, yeah. Actually, I'm a winemaker for four different estates in Provence. And they are all beautiful places. They are not only wineries, but also restaurants and places where you can rest, hotels. And so it's a great place, you know, to work at and to live all year through. Yeah,
I can't even imagine.
Yeah.
Well, it's also, obviously it's geared towards tourism.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, yeah. The southern French region is really focused on tourism because it's a nice, warm, sunny area. And we are very close to Saint-Tropez, the southern French Riviera. And so there's a lifestyle there, vines, good wines, the rosé wines, and olive oil, good food, vegetables. So we are happy to have people come to us and visit us.
What else could you want in life, right?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. That's life.
Let's specifically talk about you before we get to the estate in more detail.
Yes.
You're basically, were born into the wine business, is that right? I mean, is that what your background is?
Yeah, I was born in a wine region in Bordeaux, so southern France too. And I grew up there and graduated there and had one time an opportunity to graduate in viticulture, not only winemaking in Bordeaux, but also viticulture in Montpellier, southern France. And there I discovered the southern French wines and the varieties, and that's how I did then the rest of my life.
When you say discovered, was that one of those moments where everything changed and how you saw wine?
Yes, exactly. Well, I grew up, as I said, in Bordeaux, and I really wanted that time to discover the world and travel, and like young people do. And that's how I met the southern French wines and the grape varieties there. And it's a kind of, a crush with a wine region. And that's, I want to be here. And everything happened then from that point. Yeah.
So was that specifically the reason you decided you wanted to be a winemaker, be in that part of the business?
Yes, yes. I did not know when I was 5 or 6, I want to be a winemaker. But I loved to grow plants, and I'm a real gourmet. I love eating and tasting local food while I'm traveling and drinking, obviously. So that's the meeting point, vines and wines. Growing plants and enjoying good things to taste. Yeah, that's how I decided to be a winemaker. And it happened in southern France, in Montpellier. Yeah.
During that experience?
Yeah, during that experience.
Yeah. Are there things that you would recommend very strongly in terms of pairing? People always ask me about pairing, especially with these kind of wines. And we're going to be talking about mostly rosés here today, but
yes.
Anything you'd suggest, just in general, little tips that you enjoy as a winemaker?
Yeah, something great with a rosé wine is that you don't have to have a perfect match, because rosé is the most versatile, how do you pronounce that? Versatile, yeah?
Versatile, yeah.
Versatile
yeah.
Wine for pairings. But that's number one. Second, I have, of course, personal ideas, and I would recommend you to taste our rosés with fusion food, for example, Asian food, raw fish, very nice, with salads. You know, summer salads with salmon and bits of different meats on it, and it's very nice too. With local food, bouillabaisse is the famous French fish soup from Marseille. Well, bouillabaisse and ratatouille, a mix of local vegetables cooked in olive oil. So all that are very, very good matches with our rosé.
Tell me a little bit about your road to the estate, to the Chateau, becoming a winemaker for Chateau de Berne. How did that happen?
Okay, I worked for a while. After graduating, I felt really I need to learn everything now, because university is great to know, to get knowledge and to know theory and to get your head full of references, but then you really have to be hands-on. And I worked many times as a cellar hand in different countries. And after a while, I felt really frustrated, because I wanted to make the wine through the whole process, from harvesting and then making the wine, bottling it, and then growing the vines, and again making the wine and bottling it. And so that's how I started in southern France, in a small wine region called the Bandol, at Château de Pibarnon, a wine, one of my best wine experiences too. Then in the Rhône Valley for a while, and then I landed somehow in Bern. You know how things happen in life. You meet people and you talk, and they see your passion, and okay, let's go. Let's have a try with this estate. And actually, I'm not in charge of only one estate, Château de Berne, but also four estates in southern France, which is real fun, because I have a playground of four different estates and four different soils and varieties blends. So it's a great great time in France, Provence, as it's a very, very exciting wine region. Everything is changing, and we are working every day to improve quality. In the last 20 years, Provence Rosé really rose up in quality. And now we are able to propose state of the art and very, very elegant wines, intense, talking to people. Yeah, that's why I'm here today to try to share with you, Ray, and your audience, what I know about Provence and how I love it.
And there's nothing better than hearing it from a winemaker. I love how you use the word playground.
Yeah, well, that's true.
I mean, that's something to be able to have that opportunity. So I think for our listeners to understand, behind you we have three different rosés, and we'll be tasting those later. But are they all from the same grapes? Are they from different grapes? And there's a second part to this question, but I'll let you answer.
Yes. Provence rosé are all blended. They are blends of several varieties. It gives the wines a more complex nose and palate. We mainly have Grenache, Cinsault, Syrah as the three main varieties. And then, depending on the estate and the blend or the cuvée, we have different percentages of each variety.
So that's going to make the difference between each one. And I mean,
yes, the balance. Yeah, exactly.
There's a difference in the hue, the color.
Yes, exactly.
I see a deepness, middle, and then and the beginning. How would you express the difference, though, between, say, for example, a lighter one to a person who really doesn't understand rosé? And let me go back for a bit. Rosé is being much more accepted here in the United States. It's coming along very nicely, but there still was the old days of White Zinfandel and that kind of thing. So people sometimes get a little afraid of it. Mm-hmm. And I think rosés are tremendous, and they can be complex. So how would you explain that difference to a novice?
Yeah, first, all our rosés are pale and they are dry, which makes a big difference, because when you have a slightly sweet wine, it will hide whole sort of things in the wine, complexity in the wine. So they are all dry. And once you have a dry wine, a dry rosé, you will notice the differences. Not everyone has the occasion to compare different rosé in a row. We do every day, that's our job as winemakers, and sommeliers do too. But to me, it's the differences are like between champagne. Nowadays, many people love champagne, and there are specific occasions for that, celebrating, for example, graduation, wedding, or whatever. But some people do love certain type estate of champagne. And it's exactly the same happening in Provence now. There are styles in each winery, depending on the blends of each varieties and the soil where the vineyards grow. And that's the exciting part of Provence now. We have these differences. For example, Grenache in Château de Berne, in typically in inspiration blend, in the square bottle you have here on my left. In this square bottle, you have a big amount of Grenache on limestone soils. And Grenache plus limestone gives freshness and a slightly structured wine. So quite long and quite powerful, but light as a rosé should be, but powerful to match with all sorts of foods, spicy food as well. That's a specificity of this cuvée of inspiration. Whereas Romance, for example, Château de Berne, but Romance, the round bottle behind me, is very round, very intense on the nose, and really nice by the glass, on a terrace. Even if it's not a shiny day, you have a little bit of Provence sunshine in your glass. And by itself, it's just yeah, a perfect moment. Yeah, and we have a little bit of Merlot in this Romance blend, for example. And all that, terroir, soils, plus the grape varieties percentage, and our winemaking touch make a difference to have different types of rosé.
The shape of the bottles, and I don't normally get hung up on bottle shapes, but I think they're beautiful. It seems as though there's a purpose to that. It's not a casual thing.
Yes, exactly. Rosé is a very different category of wine. People are now, as I said, they enjoy rosé because it's a different wine. It's not a white nor a red wine, where you have to learn a lot to know about the varieties and the place. And, you know. Rosé is a matter of color first. And color means you watch the bottle first. And you have to get your eyes catched by the shape of the bottle. That's why we choose very distinctive bottles for each winery to help the consumer recognize and understand what we are through the bottle itself. So, yeah, appearance, hues, color, bottle, labels, all that matters. That's not my job as a winemaker, but I want that people get a crush at the first glance with me and my wines. And then I ensure that the quality is there in the bottle for everyone.
We were talking about the blends a few minutes ago, and I'm curious, per each one of the wines we see behind you, are they the same blends each year, or as you say, it's a playground? Is this something you change vintage to vintage?
Yeah, exactly. We change the blends vintage after vintage, as every year is different. A vintage means we have a different weather all year through, and the grapes grow differently. My job is to maintain the quality year after year, and the style of each estate wine. But part of the fun of the wine is that we have these slight differences from one year to another one. And I'm not following recipes. I have recipes in my mind, but they have to be changed every year. That's how it is. If you follow every year recipes, you will miss something. And maybe one year in a 10, you will have a great vintage, but then you will miss 9 out of 10 vintages because you just followed what you were told. And so you always have to adjust your recipes. And blending the grapes is the same. You cannot follow the same amount of grape varieties every year because, for example, 2018, last vintage, was a very rainy vintage for us in Provence. Unique, such a vintage. We have one in the 10 years probably. And we had a very sunny September month, which is the harvest time, so it was great. But we had very thick berries and different balances between acidity and sugar. So we had to change the plants. And the 17 previous vintage was a very dry vintage. But if you taste the different wines, different vintages, you will see quality, but slight differences between the two. And that's part of the fun, yeah.
I think what's unique about being a winemaker is, and it's part of the crazy part too, is that you live in the past because of your previous vintages, you live in the present, and then you also look to the future. For example, I'm sure you're obviously keeping an eye on what 19 is going to be like, even though we're not even at bud break yet.
Exactly. We work on different time scales, time levels. The vineyard, when you're doing something in your vineyard, for example, putting organic manure, as we do, you will see the effect 3 years later. So it takes time. And we only have one vintage a year. You're right, it's a matter of time, time scales, and rosé is a kind of celebration of, you know, every vintage, because we love to drink the new vintage. And when spring is coming to you guys here in the Midwest, you're probably happy with having the new vintage and enjoying life. So this is the time of the year, and this is last vintage, and we are enjoying it. I love this with rosé, it's especially important. But for other wines as well, when you are opening an old wine aged in your cellar, your father bought or your grandfather, you have a connection with time. You're drinking 1980 vintage, for example, and that's something great with a wine.
People always ask me all the time, are rosés ageable? Are your rosés ageable?
They are not. Well, then, once you've said that, more or less, of course. You don't buy a bottle of rosé to put in your cellar for the next 20 years. Consumption changed a lot, even in France, which is a big wine country. People are, even for red and white, they are not buying a wine to cellar for too long, because now people are moving, we have different lives, as our grandparents did. So, yeah, really, we have to have a wine which is ready to be drunk, you know, after bottling. You can drink our rosé within the 2 years, of course. It's okay, and it will be nice. Then it changes a little bit, because you know, time is changing everything as well. Every year you get what do you call that?
No, yeah, I don't.
You don't, but I get older. Well, everyone does. Sure. And wine is something living, so it changes month after month. But within 2 years, it's great. We'll have a great experience with our wines, yeah.
You had mentioned before you'd made wine elsewhere. Where else have you made wine?
Yeah, so in France, in the Rhone Valley, in Bandol, as I said, in Provence, now in Provence, in Bordeaux I did as well, and in Australia as well, and almost 20 years ago. That time I wasn't able to pronounce a single word in English. Now I'm still not, but I try to hard. And that was a way for me to, you know, discover the world and do my life on my side. And I worked there as a cellar hand in a very beautiful area in southern Australia, close to Adelaide, called McLaren Vale.
And not a bad place to be.
A great place, yeah, and great food too, with a lot of Greek and Italian people from these countries back in the 19th and 20th century, and a very nice food culture, because I love food, I love wines, and I love food, as you mentioned, and so it was a great experience for me.
Was that an extreme difference in how they made the wine there, what you observed versus
what
you were used to?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, a couple of examples, if you could.
That time, oak was a very trend, a very big trend, and oak was used for almost every cuvée. And the grapes themselves were very different. That's another part of winemaking joy, is that Syrah, for example, or the Shiraz, Australian Shiraz, we call it Syrah in France, Shiraz were really different from all the Shiraz I've tasted before. The grapes themselves, because they grew there in southern Australia under the Australian sun and on the soils back there. So simply the taste, the flavors was very different. Well, when you look, when you like Syrah, you might order sometimes, I have a glass of Syrah, and you can have very different experiences depending on where the Syrah comes from. And for Rosé, the same. We have different estates, and each one will be good or very good, hopefully, and it will be different. Château de Berne Impatience is stronger and has a very long palate. Romance is very catching by the flavors and very round. And Up is a spicier one, very interesting. The different bottle we have too, and it's Syrah again, a Syrah blend on schist, which gives spiciness to the wine.
Interesting, the difference in the soils and obviously the stone, the rocks and everything.
Yeah, it's a mix of all that, yeah.
Yeah, and I think getting people to understand how that influences the grapes,
yes.
That's terroir, that's what wine is all about when you get right down to it, other than the fun part.
Yeah.
What other wines do you make?
Unfortunately, they are not on the US market because we have a small amount of these. That's a kind of invitation for you to visit us in France and spend some time, whether 1 hour or a day or a week, because we have very nice facilities to stay with us there. You would enjoy our whites and reds. They are incredible too. They are less known than the Provence Rosé, but they are very good too. And they can age as well,
I could be there anytime.
Yeah, let's come.
I would love to. And speaking of which, we were talking for a second about the question you don't get asked, and you elaborated on the idea of how people don't truly understand the process of harvest to bottle. Tell me a little bit more about that.
Yes, people are right in thinking wine is a natural process and we are harvesting natural grapes, but they don't realize, I think, how much energy we put in each single bottle of wine. We are, for example, we are harvesting at night in Provence, only at night because it's cooler, so we can protect the color and the flavors of the grapes and then the wine. And then all day through we work, so we are almost not sleeping during harvest time, which lasts for a month and a half. And it's a lot of energy for everyone, cellar hands, winemakers, and people in the vines harvesting. So really, it's a great thing. It's like giving the best out of yourself every year at this time to get the most beautiful vintage every time. But I think people don't realize how much energy is it. That's again part of the fun of what we do. But that's something I like to share with guys. When you drink a bottle of wine, think about all the job, all the work behind this bottle, from the vine grower and the teams in the cellars.
And it's not easy work.
It's not easy. It's fun.
Passion.
It's not easy. It's passion. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Politics usually answer, "Oh, that's a very good question," and then they answer something else. But it's true; it's a very good question. But I don't know what I can answer you now. I would talk for several hours about the wines there, and I think, rosé is just a matter of enjoying the wine how they are, and we try to help people choose their rosé, Provence rosé, through the bottle and strong brands. If they want to learn more about our wines, we're happy to welcome them at home and to show them around and answer all their questions. We try to talk to our consumers too through small videos on internet and hopefully nice web pages too. And we invite people to check and have a look. You will see the beautiful place where we are. And We are happy to answer any questions. I don't know which one I would like to be asked, but we are always happy to have people coming and asking, and that's hospitality is a part of our DNA. That's the difference with other wineries probably, because we love having people with us and discovering our wines.
And these wines are available commonly in the United States?
Yes, exactly. We started last year importing in the US, and we're having now the 18 vintage coming soon as well in the different states, almost nationwide. So you will find them, yeah. Yeah.
Excellent. And if our listeners would like to learn about the estate and learn a little bit more about you on the internet, what's your website?
If you look at Château de Berne or Ultimate Provence, and you will find our wines. It's very easy to find, even on the social media. We have a few pages to help people understand who we are and what type of wine we make. So you will easily find. Yeah, yeah.
Alexei, welcome to the States and welcome to Chicago. Thank you very much for your
Thanks
time.
Thanks a lot, Ray. Thank you.
Cheers.
Cheers. Santé.
Santé.
Learn more at chateaudeberne.com.
Thanks for listening, and remember to like us on Facebook. Also, check out our YouTube channel.
Life Between the Vines is produced at Fifth Floor Recording Company in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Produced and edited by Ray Pfister. Theme song and original music written and recorded by Tim Dondarevo. Additional original music by Ray Pfister. Our host is Kay Paskoff. Our graphics and website specialist is Lawton Hall. Our web geek is Dan Gieschen. Photos by Jeanette Herniak and Catherine Shearer. Copyright 2019.